Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And today we're going to stay in the CCA manual for NCAA umpire mechanics in Section 7. And we're going to start today talking about rundowns.
Yeah, that's right, Pete. So some really good stuff in the manual about how to get these things done. If you listened to our last mechanics episode, you heard us say things like there's some umpires out there way smarter and way more experienced than us. Who have decided that there's some best ways of doing things, and they put them in these manuals, and we're really lucky to have them. Really good advice to follow. And if you want to advance, you really need to follow it.
Yes.
Because that's what your assigners and the evaluators are looking for. Mm-hmm. Are you following the mechanics in the book? So regarding rundowns, successful coverage depends on timing and deliberate movement. When working a rundown alone, the umpire must find a position that is a comfortable distance from the baseline to move laterally between the bases while observing the action. So laterally between the bases, so up and down the baseline.
Up and down the baseline, yep.
Up and down the baseline. The umpire should square their shoulders to the runner and move sideways with the runner. So that's interesting, right? So we're sidestepping. I'm grinning a little bit because
yeah, like shuffling, kind of like a basketball player. Like
yeah, now I'm seeing though is the what's that karaoke's
called? Oh yeah, yeah.
You're running karaoke's down the. Down the sideline. Don't do that. Please don't do karaoke's. You probably want to avoid crossing your feet, you know.
You'd be on TikTok for sure.
Right? Yeah, like you remember the umpire from, or the referee, the basketball referee from a couple of March Madnesses ago? He would high step down the sideline sometimes. Mm-hmm. It was funny. All right. So move sideways with the runner. It's not necessary to keep up with the runner. Rather, shadow the runner's movement along the baseline. So it's not always possible to maintain a view of the tag side of the runner. Therefore, umpires must work together on these plays whenever possible. Okay, makes sense. What's the next part there, Pete?
Yeah, when working a rundown together, umpires should attempt to set up on opposite sides of the base path, communicating with each other. I got this half. When a tag attempt occurs out of view of the responsible calling umpire, but within the view of the other, the umpire should look to each other and communicate who will take the call. When umpires are not sure who should make the call, quick eye contact and a verbal acknowledgement of, I have the call, or a physical acknowledgement like tapping your chest will resolve the problem.
Yeah, perfect. So a couple things to break down there a little bit and give you a quick, something from experience that just happened when we were at the championship series mm-hmm. there last month or... Well, boy, time flies. So I don't believe I was on the field. If I was, I was on the field. So I was U1, and there ended up being a rundown between third and home. And the home plate umpire did not yell, I've got this half, but yelled, I'm outside.
Yeah.
Stay inside.
Mm-hmm.
Because then the other umpire started to go to the outside.
Yeah. You know,
and so then got verbal instruction from the plate that said, no, stay inside.
No, I think that's good communication.
Oh, it was very
I even
good.
Like that maybe a little. I don't want to say that. I'm not an NCAA umpire, so I can't get in trouble. No assigner is going to hate me, but I like that a little better in the book. Honestly.
So that was Pete. That was not David.
Yeah. Pete Shear. I live at one. No,
so yeah, really good communication there. And then, of course, staying on that half, though, is still a good thing, right? You want to be close to the call. It's going to be a tag play, right? So you want to be close to the call. If you have two umpires involved in it, one of you got the north 30 feet and the other one's got the south 30 feet or the east and west 30 feet, whatever it is.
Yeah.
As long as it's not a sextant, right?
Yes.
So, yeah. So anyway.
You told me that horse was dead.
Well, yeah, we did, didn't we? Okay, so that's it. So I think pretty good stuff, right? You're going to want to be careful about the tag play. I love the idea of communicating who's got the call when two umpires are involved in it. When you look at each other, if you've umpired with somebody for I don't even know if you have to say a long time. If you're familiar with your partner and you guys are familiar with each other, guys or gals are familiar with each other, just a head nod up or a head nod down. You know, a head nod up is, hey, I got it. You know, a head nod down is you got it, right? It's just kind of, hey, it's you. And then I think I would also say, if you pregame it, don't ever tell somebody else it's their call. Either you take the call or they take the call. So when you look at each other, don't point and go, you.
Yeah.
Right? Wait on them to go, no, me. It's, you know, tapping the chest type thing. I got it. Because, and the reason I'm saying that is they might not have it. And so you don't want to say it's your call for everyone in the world to see, right? You can't see your listeners can't see my arm going out and, you know, pointing.
He's emphatically pointing.
Emphatically pointing at my partner and saying, it's your call. And then they go, I don't have it because it was a swipe tag. I didn't see it.
And then for the fact that you point it away and then you have to call it, no confidence in either umpire.
Yeah, exactly. So I would say don't tell somebody else it's their call. live and in person, mm-hmm. I think wait on them to either take the call and say, hey, it's mine, or make the call, right? Or they make the call, right? So yeah. one or the other. So, all right, perfect. So the next thing to talk about then is the drop third strike. So we're going to talk about the responsibilities of the plate and the base umpire in the drop third strike. And starting with the plate, when the third strike is caught, the plate umpire should give the standard out signal, and if necessary, add the verbal, the batter is out, to alleviate any confusion. This one's good. Well, I don't know if it's going to talk about it, but we are talking about drop third strike. Mm-hmm. So yeah, let's just keep reading and then we'll find out. So the next paragraph for the plate umpire says, if the third strike is obviously not caught, the plate umpire should give a strike signal followed by a standard safe signal. If there is confusion or it's not obvious, the plate umpire should add a verbal no catch. And then the last paragraph for the plate umpire, if the plate umpire is uncertain whether or not the third strike was caught, they should look to the base umpires for help before making a call. If there is any question on the batter attempting a swing, go quickly for help. You do not need to be asked by the defense. Okay, so some stuff to unpack there. So first thing to talk about a little bit is you can have a dropped third strike and the batter is still out, because if there's less than two outs and first base is occupied, yeah. right? You still have a dropped third strike. Mm-hmm. So you have a live ball and the runner, the batter is still out. So I'd be careful about that. And that's where it's really important. They say the batter is out. Add the verbal, the batter is out. You can also add that verbal on the drop third strike, right? They said that on the, if you're certain it got caught, mm-hmm. then add the batter is out. But if it's a drop third strike and first base is occupied and there's less than two outs, you could also say that. Usually don't have to at college level,
yeah.
because the college players know, you know, but anybody who also does summer ball, USA, U-Trip, you know, that kind of stuff, younger folks, they might need a little bit of assistance there to kind of make sure that batter runner is not going to be heading toward first base.
And part of that would be, I could see someone saying, well, you're giving assistance to someone who didn't know. If they run and the defense throws the ball anyway and throws the ball away and now the runner right. would go and you help them and blah, blah. I don't know. In a way, I see it more like you're helping yourself. So like you get it. You're like, throw the hammer for the outside and you say, the batter's out. And then it helps later too. It's like, there's no question about what happened or what you saw happen. Because then when you have to unwind it and they threw the ball and like people ran around and people were like, I thought this happened. She couldn't run. She yeah. threw a throw. She did this. She did that.
Drop third strike. She's not allowed to run. So that yeah. runner has to go back to first. It's like, yeah. nope, still a live ball.
Yeah.
You know, your catcher should have known. The preventative umpiring could have mm-hmm. happened as well, to say batter's out.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you know, you're kind of done. But I get it. You know, we would also see probably some overzealous summer coaches being upset that you helped the defense. They were on purpose trying to trick the defense. You know, I tell my girls to run every time, you yeah. know, and it's like, oh, well, see, then there's mockery of the game. And then there, you know, there's all kinds of fun, ugly stuff about that too. But we're talking about CCA stuff here. We're talking about NC2A ball. So we don't have any of that crazy stuff. The verbal no catch, when we're sure that it's there, and as you know, the batter's still standing in the mm-hmm. in the box, and you know, you're like, no catch. It's interesting to me that, oh, okay, yeah, followed by a standard safe signal.
Safe
so
signal,
yeah,
right.
that's the, so if a third strike is obviously not caught, the plate umpire should give a strike signal followed by a standard safe signal.
Yep.
Right. And that's, yeah, very helpful stuff.
Yeah. When, it lets everybody know.
Yep. Exactly. All right, Pete, what about the base umpires?
Yeah, so if a third strike is obviously caught or dropped, there is no requirement to give a signal to the plate umpire. However, if the batter is entitled to run and there is any question as to whether or not the third strike was caught, the base umpire should emphatically give the ball a caught or ball is not caught third strike signal to the plate umpire. This signal should be clear and easy for the other umpires on the crew to see. If the check swing is your responsibility, be prepared to respond quickly to the plate umpire if asked for help. Because this is kind of seconds matter. If it's like 0-2, a ball comes in, it's obviously a ball if it were called, and the person made an attempt at a swing, and the ball like bounced in the dirt, you gotta know right away, hey, did I check my swing, and therefore strike three, run? Or did I not, or did I, it's the other way around. So I did not check my swing, so I went, not, gotta run. Or I checked my swing, therefore I held back, ball one. You know, so it's like, and that matters. That matters a lot as to what's about to happen. So you've got a seconds matter. Be ready This is your pre-pitch planning. You should know before this as a base umpire, hey, it's 0-2. First base is unoccupied. Drop third strike is in play. Check swing responsibility is mine. I'm on the line, you know, in NCAA world.
That's right.
Be ready for this. Be locked in.
Yeah. Oh, that's, yeah, really good advice. Really good advice. So.
So question mark, what is the emphatically give the ball caught or ball not caught third strike signal?
Yeah. So Pete just asked that question because he sees me over here.
Oh, where are you looking at?
Frantically going through the manual to get to the signals page. So on page 82 and 83, you can see the third strike is not caught from the base umpire, and it is extend the right arm straight out from your side at a 45 degree angle. The index finger is pointing at the ground. Ball's down, right?
Yeah, so that's what I've like done.
Ball's down. Yep. And then on page 83, the third strike is caught. That's the elbow of the right arm is held at the side of the waist with only the forearm extending out from the body at 90 degrees. So it's caught. So
yeah, I've got almost looks, it's a pulled in obstruction signal. Well, wrong hand.
But with like, the other hand. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, if you were to throw your arm straight out with your fist closed and then bring your elbow back to your side, but it's the right hand.
Instead of the left.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So yeah, that's it.
Okay.
So awesome. Love it.
We hammered that one. Next one's infield fly. So prior to the pitch, and before stepping behind the catcher, the plate umpire is responsible for initiating the infield fly signal. The signal is given every time a new batter comes to the plate and there is an infield fly situation. Each base umpire acknowledges the infield fly rule by returning the same signal to the plate umpire. When the infield fly situation is no longer in effect, the umpire should again communicate by wiping the infield fly off or use the two-out indicator. If the plate umpire fails to initiate either signal when warranted, the base umpire should initiate the plate umpire, initiate to the plate umpire before the next pitch. All umpires share concurrent authority to judge an infield fly and initiate the call. After any umpire calls the infield fly, all other umpires shall echo the signal. An infield fly is not called until the ball has reached its highest point and can be caught with ordinary effort if an infielder can nearly settle under the ball while still facing the infield. If you feel an infielder could have caught the ball with ordinary effort and an outfielder calls the ball and takes the catch, it's still an infield fly. When judging if a ball is an infield fly, remember that it must be caught in flight, not a bunt or a line drive.
Interesting stuff here. So I like it. The first one is about the indicators. So every time a new batter comes up and where you have an infield fly situation, not an infield fly happened, right? But we have the potential for an infield fly. And of course, everybody knows that that's, you know, with runners at first and second or first, second and third with less than two outs.
Yep.
Right. And so when that happens, you're going to give the infield fly is on, which is, you know, like the palm on over your heart, if you will. Wait on your plate umpire to do that. Try not to do it first. It kind of quote unquote shows up your plate, right?
Yeah.
It's their responsibility.
Like they weren't doing the job.
Yeah. It's their responsibility to do it first and then you echo it. If they've missed it and haven't done it, you know, that it's possible then that means the plate umpire has actually missed the fact that it's a possible play. Mm-hmm. So go ahead and do it back to them on the next pitch so that, you know, they make sure that they understand it. And then when it's off, it's either swiping it off your left forearm and then it says you or using the two out signal. Mm-hmm. So the two out signal is used when we have the potential for a timing play. Mm-hmm. And so when there's no infield fly situation, but a runner at first or second and two outs, that means that there could be a timing play. If it's not a force play, right? Somebody tries to get a double and they get thrown out at second. Where was that runner from first? Had she crossed the plate or not? Right. And so you want to make sure that you're cognizant that you have a timing play possible mm-hmm. on this next batted ball. And so those are the two things. So that's good. I pregame this infield fly situation to say, if I'm the plate, I'm going to call it.
Yeah.
Unless I miss it.
And so, yeah. Well, the question is, why would they not call it? The plate umpire has almost all fly ball responsibilities to call the out when it happens.
Yep. That's right.
So it's like, they're the one doing all that. I would think they should have quote unquote first crack at that infield fly call.
So we do in my pregame, it's first crack, but you know, as the manual says, anybody can, which mm-hmm. I think that's great.
Everybody, yeah. Maybe the ball hits its peak and maybe starting to come down and you're the base umpire and you still haven't heard infield fly, the batter is out. Maybe you say it.
Yep. Exactly. And then plate, if that happens, plate, you got to back up your people because you can't uncall an infield fly. Mm-hmm. Right. So once you call infield fly, batter's out, you can't uncall it. And then once you miss it, you can't call it after. And so it's really difficult. I found myself in one of those situations several years ago at, where was I? I was a Berliner and I was a field umpire. and so bases, and the plate did not call one. It was borderline, maybe not 30 feet high, you know, type thing, you know, whatever. And the plate didn't call it. And so I'm like, okay, well, he judged it that it wasn't. And boy, then he was like, oh no, it was. I'm like, well, dude, cause you know, of course the offense questioned it.
Mm-hmm.
And, cause they got themselves in trouble, you know, got thrown out at the plate, you know, type thing. And so they questioned it and he goes, oh no, it was. And I'm like, oh dude, you just completely blew the pooch on that one.
Yeah.
Oh man, I don't even remember how we made that one go. We tried to do it fair for the players as best we could. In USA ball, you don't have redo. Right? So, and you barely have redo in any other sanction. Do you have a redo, Pete?
There's one in the NC2A. I know we talked about it in the previous episode, but I don't remember the circumstances. I just remember I was like, oh.
Yeah, if the defense switches positions without telling the umpire and then they make a play, then it's a redo. Yeah. Okay. So if you think about, we've seen this happen actually in the Women's College World Series, you know, depending on left-handed batter, right-handed batter, the left fielder wants to play right field, or right fielder wants to play left field, you know, type thing. And they make that switch. And if the fly ball goes there and gets caught, then that's a redo situation. So just interesting. Did you know that? Now you do. Right. All right. So how do we handle home runs, Pete?
Yeah. So the crew must communicate and continue to umpire on the hit. If the ball is close to the foul pole, the umpire who chases will turn, set and straddle the line and focus their view on the ball as it crosses the vertical plane of the fence and the foul pole. Give the approved signal immediately after the ball passes over the fence while you are facing the outfield. Do not wait for the ball to land before giving the signal. If the ball is not near the line, chase parallel to its flight, stop before it clears the fence, and signal immediately facing where the ball went over the fence. When the plate umpire is responsible for the call, they must move to achieve the best angle and be set to make the call. On out-of-the-park home runs, the plate umpire must watch all runners complete their base running responsibilities before ruling on dead ball appeals, then put a new ball in play.
Perfect. Love it. So, three-umpire system or chasing, or two-umpire system and chasing. We actually had this situation. I think you were at the game. I was a U3 high school district championship, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm U3. I got one hit over my head. Yelled going and turn, maybe took two steps because, I mean, it was a shot.
Yeah.
And stopped. I'm straddling the line. The ball crossed the fence. I give the home run signal. The ball lands 20 feet left of the fair foul line extended.
Mm-hmm.
And the fans were just not happy at all. Right.
Yeah.
And that ball was peeling. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it had come off the bat. It was not a right-handed batter. It was a left-handed batter. And so
she sliced it.
She had sliced it. Yeah. Sliced it really well. And it was funny. I think I remember you saying something like, I was definitely 70 or 80 feet closer to the fence than these fans.
Right.
No, I could see where the ball crossed. No doubt about it. But, and then the other thing to keep in mind here, really important piece is don't put another ball in play until everybody has finished their base running responsibilities.
Yep.
And if she passes the plate but doesn't touch it, has she finished her base running responsibilities?
Yes, because she's assumed to have touched any base she passes. That's a, if you want to do anything about that, that's for the defense to appeal.
That's right. Yeah, it has to be an appeal play. And so another pet peeve of mine when people are appealing, you'll hear this a lot, high school even, some of the high school coaches will do this as well, but it's throw the ball home. Throw the ball home, you know, and it's like, oh man, there's a difference between a live ball appeal and a dead ball appeal. So once the ball has left the building,
right?
It's pretty much dead. And so all you have to do is say, I want to appeal that she missed that bag. Mm-hmm. And that's true for every one of them. When somebody, you know, the play's over, the pitcher has the ball in the circle and, you know, the girl hit a triple and you think she missed second base, you know, don't tell the girl to throw the ball to second, because I'll tell you something, if you're playing against me and I got a quick little girl, she's going to go ahead and score. Right? As you throw the ball to second base, I'm going to send her, because we now have a live ball again.
Mm-hmm.
So you took a dead ball, made it live, and I'm going to score.
Right. And then if you lose your appeal, you also
lost a run. So it's dead ball. The ball's dead. Just say, hey, Blue, I want to appeal she missed second base. Done. It's that easy, right? So don't put yourself in danger by doing that stuff. Okay, one more, and it's called the power of the point. The point signal is extremely valuable and effective when used wisely. The point brings attention to an important element of the play. It should not be used on routine plays. Some examples of effective use of the point are, ruling on close check swings or bunt attempts by the plate umpire, not on obvious bunt attempts. Like, she went, right? Or whatever, and you're pointing at her. Yep. Or, you know, something like that. Now, it doesn't tell you to say any of those things. For listeners, it doesn't say that.
Right. Yeah, you just, you point at the bat. It's basically like, that's the direction. It's towards the batter. But I just point like at the bat and then give the hammer.
And go, yep. And I usually go, she did. And that way the catcher knows because the catcher can't see you point.
Mm-hmm.
And the batter knows because the batter, what if it's a slapper?
Right.
And she's got her back to you because she went running out of the batter's box because those slapper people, they do that stuff. Also, specifying which player has committed an infraction, such as interference, mm-hmm. or who is out.
Yeah. Right?
So when you're pointing at somebody, you point at them and go, that girl right there, that player right there, she's out.
Yep. And especially good as you think about where two players end up on the same base.
Yep.
Which one is out?
Yeah. I just immediately went to the Major League Baseball thing where the two guys were standing there and the umpire did it. I mean, he knew immediately. He mm-hmm. he knew the rule. He knew the whole thing. He's like, that's an out there. And you, by the way, you're out. Yeah. You know, so I think that was great. Next is indicating the location of a tag when it's not obvious. So got her on the thigh, you know, mm-hmm. something like that. And you're pointing. Indicating that a ball is on the ground when it is not obvious. So, That's like the balls down thing. Yep. Balls down thing. We bobbled it. Whatever.
And like a non-catch, like on a one we talked about where it's like the bunt went up in the air. Third baseman comes diving in. It's not obvious. Did they catch the ball or did it like land under them? And now it's like under their stomach. So like no one can see the ball. You're not sure where it's at.
Yep.
You know, you're pointing. The ball's down.
Yep. And then the last bullet that they have here is pointing out that a fielder kept contact with the bag. I would expand on that a little bit. Not only kept contact with the bag, but got back to the bag.
Mm-hmm.
In time. So a lot of time you think about that first base play and the first baseman had to jump up to get the ball.
Yeah.
And so they're obviously off the bag, but then they come down on the bag and then the runner hits and you're like, nope, got her right on the bag, bang, got her. She's out type thing. Yeah. Good stuff. Awesome.
So that's that section. There we go.
All right.
I think we got it.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yep. Until next time.